Radio Prague News.
The first NHL ice hockey game to be held in the Czech Republic takes place on Saturday evening. Romani residents reacted angrily to a so-called patrol by a nationalist group in Litvínov on Saturday. And the Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdych has reached the final of the Japan Open in Tokyo. The first NHL ice hockey game to be held in the Czech Republic takes place at Prague's O2 Arena on Saturday evening. New York Rangers are playing Tampa Bay Lightning in the first of two matches, with the second being held on Sunday. The cheapest tickets are priced at 1,990 crowns. That's $111. The NHL is holding the first games of the 2008-2009 season in Prague and the Swedish capital Stockholm, in order to increase the international profile of the North American League. Romani residents reacted angrily to a so-called patrol by a nationalist group in Litvínov, North Bohemia, on Saturday. Around 70 people armed with sticks, golf clubs and other improvised weapons spat on and swore at members of the little-known nationalist organisation the Workers' Party, who were attempting to carry out what they called a monitoring patrol of the housing estate where the Romanis live. The local police were on the scene and the two sides did not come to blows. The Litvínov authorities have expressed opposition to such patrols. The town's deputy mayor said the police had been given a video recording of Saturday's incident and called on them to take action against the Workers' Party members involved. In a poll released just a fortnight before regional elections, 48% of respondents said they would like to see fundamental changes in regional leadership. Nearly two-thirds of those surveyed in the STEM poll said their attitude to politics at the national level would influence their vote in regional elections on October 17th and 18th. The biggest party in the coalition government, the Civic Democrats, hold 12 of the country's 13 regional governorships. The Czech Republic introduced the current system of regional administration in the year 2000. The Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdych has reached the final of the Japan Open in Tokyo. Berdych, seeded ninth in the tournament, beat second seed Andy Roddick of the US 6-7, 7-5, 7-6 to set up a clash with the Argentine Juan Martín del Potro on Sunday. It's the 23-year-old Czech's second final on the ATP Tour this year. The weather, finally, it should get gradually warmer in the coming days, with temperatures set to reach up to 20 degrees Celsius. Forecasters say it'll be quite sunny with rain at times. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find many more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. In today's show, another edition of Magazine with some of the week's light-hearted stories. Then another Czech lesson with Dominik Jung, in which he'll focus on the sweet things in life. And on a more serious note, we'll offer you another chance to hear our in-depth interview of the week with Prague-based American journalist Eric Best. All that coming your way, and we start off with Magazine. Forty-four-year-old Jiří Vystrčil from Brno has worked at Czech Railways all his life, and he's an employee the company can rightly be proud of. He knows all the rail routes running through the Czech Republic by heart and can reel off the stations along any given track off the top of his head without giving it a moment's thought. And there are 2,762 of them in all, so it's no mean feat. He moreover knows all the route numbers by heart, so in the event of computer failure, Mr. Vystrčil could single-handedly take over. He says it all started as a game when he worked as a conductor conductor and ticket inspector, and people would ask him about the best train connection from one place to another. First, he'd have to do a lengthy check in his train manual, but gradually he realized he knew the answers and started memorizing out-of-the-way stations in order to broaden his repertoire. Soon he was wowing people with his spectacular memory, and it became a challenge to be able to answer any question put to him. 20 years later, he's made the Czech Book of Records, the primetime news, and is a well-known figure in his hometown. As far as promotion goes, he's only made it to chief conductor, but he is undisputedly the best chief conductor Czech Railways ever had. It's not often you get to see a pelican flying overhead in Prague, but it happens occasionally when the zoo fails to clip a pelican's wings in time to prevent their escape. Most of them circle over the Vltava and end up on one of the nearby islands. But the one who escaped last week was rather more adventurous. He flew along the river upstream, going as far as Domajerova Hospital, which is 17 kilometers away. There he took up residence until he was caught and brought back by two slightly disheveled-looking police officers. Young people leave home very early in life these days. In Trutnov, the police were alerted to the fact that a 2-year-old boy had been seen whizzing through the town on a tricycle in the morning rush hour. He was winding his way through the busy morning traffic, taking unexpected twists and turns, and it took the police half an hour to find him. Not that he was inconspicuous. He was pedaling along Yechnar Street as fast as he could go, wearing only a nappy and T-shirt with a dummy in his mouth, an officer reported later. The only thing the police could get out of him was that his parents were pa, meaning goodbye in Czech baby talk. His parents, meanwhile, were fast asleep in their beds at home and were horrified when the police rang their doorbell to ask if they weren't missing a child by any chance. It may not look it, but the Velorex four-wheeler, a frog-shaped vehicle developed in this country in 1936 as a cheap substitute for cars, which were in short supply after the war, is really an incredibly sturdy and reliable vehicle. Four Czech-owned Velorex cars just proved their worth in an expedition across the legendary Route 66, kicking off from Chicago in early September and reaching their destination, Los Angeles, last weekend. The tiny three-wheeler cars, a cross between a motorbike and a car, held their own over the 5,254-kilometer expedition and, according to Tomáš Jaroň, one of the Czech Velorex crew of four, there was not even a hiccup. The spare parts they carried for emergencies were left unused. They covered, on average, 250 kilometers a day, though at one stage it was a record 400, and all along the route they sparked enormous interest. People would flock around us wherever we stopped and ask us about the car, Jaroš told the internet daily IDNES. What impressed people most was the car's low fuel consumption, a mere 6 litres per 100 kilometres. For Tomáš Jaroň and his pals, who each have several Velorex cars in their garage, the Velorex, dubbed Hadrák or Rag car, is an affair of the heart, as they say. Tomáš Jaroň has 17 of them, and today they are all prized vintage cars. Altogether, 15,300 of them were made in the post-war years, and some of them were exported to countries of the former communist bloc, where demand for them was also great. Today, there are only about 400 of them left in the Czech Republic. and it is not clear how many more are scattered around the world. Although Tomáš Jaroň says that he saw four on the road in Chicago and two more in Los Angeles. And they have also been sighted as far away as Australia and New Zealand. Well, chances are you can come across one practically anywhere. The town of Belhrimov prides itself on being special. As the town of records and curiosities, it provides a constant flow of attention-grabbing stories and attracts thousands of people to its summer festival of the same name. Wacky records are always welcome, as are strange and bizarre inventions, all recorded by the agency in charge of documenting these activities, going under the name Agentura Dobrý den, or the Good Day Agency. Now, the town of Belhrimov is aiming higher still. It would like to erect a symbol of freedom somewhere on its premises, and it's thinking big. The idea is to erect a 14-meter-tall bronze statue of a horse rearing up on its hind legs, an unsaddled horse that would be symbolic of the country having shed the fetters of its totalitarian past. Jan Řeřicha, the sculptor whose idea this is, can't wait to get to work on the project. The town's mayor is all for it, but there are many hurdles along the way. The biggest, of course, is money. And next in line, the sheer size of the project. The horse would weigh an estimated 100 tons, which would necessitate a geological study to ascertain whether the ground would not collapse under the horse's weight. Of course, one must admit that even if it did, Belhrimov would uphold its reputation of being something special, since the sight of a huge bronze horse at the bottom of a crater would undoubtedly draw hundreds of visitors. Have more stories for you same time next week. Now it's time for our weekly Czech language crash course, this time with Dominik Jun.
Můj přítel snídá 7 kremrolí a když je spořádá, dá si repete cukrlátko.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Soundcheck, the program in which we explore the Czech language through song lyrics. The phrase that we will look at is Sladionke cukrbliky from the Jaromír Nohavice song Cukrářská bossa nova.
Mít v ústech sladko, ko 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 sláva, cukr a káva a půl litru becherovky.
Cukrářská bossa nova is a very sweet song with plenty of references to sweet treats. Even the title, Sugary Bossa Nova, is sweet. Bossa nova is a Brazilian music style and is replicated in this song.
Můj přítel snídá 7 kremrolí a když je spořádá, dá si repete cukrlátko.
Sugary indulgence, that is definitely the best way to describe the lyrics of this song. Můj přítel snídá 7 kremrolí a když je spořádá, dá si repete hruškové cukrlátko. My friend is eating 7 cream rolls and when he has demolished those, he has a second course of pear-flavored candy.
Všechny cukrášky z celé republiky na něho dělají sladionké cukrbliky.
Všechny cukrášky z celé republiky na něho dělají sladionké cukrbliky. All the female confectioners are sweetly battering their eyelids in his direction. So sladionké cukrbliky is best translated as a sweet battering of the eyelids. Zuckerblick takes two words, Zucker, which is sugar, and Blick, which is wink, and combines them poetically.
Všechny cukrášky z celé republiky na něho dělají sladionké cukrbliky a on jim za odměnu zpívá zas a znovu tuhletu cukrářskou bosanovu.
During the song, Nohavica describes a character who is indulging himself with sweet snacks, all the while getting the attention of a number of women. Koukej, jak mu roste oblast budoucích maminek, a já mám podezření, že se zakulatí jako míč. See how this pool of potential mothers for his children is growing, but I think that he will just get fat or round like a ball. That is this week's soundcheck. Thanks for listening.
Koukej, jak mu roste oblast budoucích maminek a já mám podezření, že se zakulatí jako míč a až ho někdo kopne, odkutálí se mi pryč a já zůstanu sám, úplně sám. Sláva, cukr a káva a půl litru kakerovky, hurá, hurá, hurá. Ta dnes dělá 400, všechny cukrášky z celé republiky na něho dělají sladionké cukrbliky a on jim za odměnu zpívá zas a znovu tuhletu cukrářskou bosanovu.
Well, if that was a bit overwhelming, you can go over it once again slowly at www.radio.cz, where you will find this and all our programs in text and sound. Now it's time for Saturday's edition of One on One with American journalist Eric Best.
My guest in One on One this week is the respected Prague-based journalist Eric Best. Eric came to Prague from the US in the early 90s after completing degrees in foreign relations, the Russian language, and business. Shortly after his arrival, he founded The Fleet Sheet, a serious daily bulletin published by him and his staff, highlighting important business and political stories for subscribers. Later, he added Final Word, a widely read, often pointedly witty but also critical opinion piece. Both are discussed in our interview. First, though, we begin by talking a little bit about Eric's initial decision to settle in Prague.
You know, the Russians see the Czech Republic as kind of the Switzerland of Central Europe, and I kind of saw it as that as well. Having been here for a couple of days, I knew that I could live here, and the combination of that, what I consider very good living conditions, coupled with the Slavic language, was for me a very big selling point. And then once I got here, I, after about a year, came up with a business idea that just happened to put together all the things I'd studied. So it worked out in that respect very well, but it wasn't really the plan when I came.
Now, you mentioned that within a year of coming here that you put together a business plan. Was that already the Fleet Sheet?
That was the Fleet Sheet, yes. It all came together within about 2 or 3 weeks. The idea that business people were starting to come into town, they needed business news and political news from the standpoint of another business person, and there were no marketing studies or anything at the time. I had no idea if it would be successful. I thought if I had 4 or 5 subscribers after the first month, it would be worth continuing, and we ended up having 15. So it was something that we put together very quickly, but that started out quite well and has been going far longer than I ever expected. I expected to do it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and the foreigners would leave, and I'd have to find something else, and now it's been 17 years.
What were some basic principles in putting the Fleet Sheet together?
Well, the basic principle at the time was a combination of presenting the news as the business people wanted it presented, in language they could understand, and also actually getting it to them, because back then it was possible sometimes to fax one page across the street, but that second page almost never went through because the phone system was so horrible. It's hard to believe when you look at it from today's standpoint, but back then it was difficult. So the concept of one page was almost self-determined because that second page just didn't go through. And the speed and the ability to pick out the articles and the stories that people want, that's really the key.
And this format, basically this rundown of important business and political stories, is one that remains the same?
That remains the same. The other thing that remains the same is we have the Prague Post, Radio Prague, and other publications are, I suppose, to an extent, kind of a competitor, but they are providing a general service to a more general audience where we are very specific and only trying to serve people who are really very, very serious about what's going on here, and that we have stuck to, and that's been a model that has worked.
Another one of your activities that was added later is The Final Word, which is a service provided for free, and that is, of course, an opinion piece. Tell me a little bit about what point you decided that you wanted to get into that and that it was important for you as a journalist.
Well, we actually started that because the Fleet Sheet itself, our paid product, was going well. It was getting a bit routine. We needed something to liven things up in the office, keep us a little busier. Plus, we were, by going through the newspapers and reading and following the news, we were learning things that we weren't able to express. And the idea of having a small opinion piece came about partly because of that, but also partly because we had an advertiser who was pushing us to give him more space to advertise. And the original idea was more for it to be an advertising means, a means of making money. But then I ran into a bit of a problem because one of the early advertisers pulled out quickly when we wrote some political stories or a story about one of his customers, and I had to make the decision of whether it was an opinion piece meant to have fun and also impart knowledge on our readers, or whether it was a money-making venture. And I decided that regardless of whether we made any money on it or not, it was worth doing. And that was a very big moment in terms of the business because it really changed our business model and it freed us up to not really think about what the advertisers were saying about what we were writing. I think, we don't see much political censorship in the Czech Republic in the sense that the government is telling people what to write or not write, but we still see a lot of what I call commercial censorship where the advertisers are dictating what can or cannot, more often cannot be written. And by making the conscious decision not to allow an advertiser to determine what we were going to write, even if it meant that we would make no money on the product, was a very, very important thing. It was a difficult decision to make, but in the end it was gave us a very free feeling, and now we really feel that, of course, we have the responsibility to be careful about what we write, but we are well aware that we are able to do it without really being concerned about what anyone else says about it. And that's a very good feeling to have.
One thing that's often mentioned is the English-speaking community here over the years. The estimates have ranged wildly from a few thousand to 25,000 English speakers in Prague. I wondered, how do you see that community as having changed over the years? In the early days, you would see a lot of people coming over to teach English. People would be inspired by the old beat poets coming over to read at the Globe bookstore. Of course, those days are long gone.
They, I think, are to a large extent because the value of the dollar has gone down. The crown is very strong. Things are more expensive. I was never really too much part of that young crowd, so I can't really comment too much on it, and I was always targeting a different audience. But in terms of the numbers, I always just looked at the number of people registered to work here, and it's remained fairly stable around, I think, about 2,000. And when you add family members, I figured there are somewhere around 6,000 or 8,000 Americans. And of the serious people, I think it's stayed relatively stable. And of course, there were times when there were a lot of backpackers and people like that, but I think that was more like 10 or 12 years ago, and since then it's been going steadily down.
How do you look back on that decision to move here?
Well, I have never once questioned the decision to come here. which I feel very happy about, the fact that I made what I consider the right decision. I wake up every morning with the feeling that it's another day and with more to learn. And I, as someone who has been more or less accepted here, I'm very grateful for the reception I've been given. And that is not something that is a given. That's something that I think is partly due to the fact that the Czechs have developed very well. They are very open to foreigners for the most part. They are open to tourists. You know, it used to be that you felt almost strange speaking English in Prague, but now you don't think anything of it because it's so accepted and the Czechs are so open. And it's really been, for me, for the past 17 or 18 years, an absolutely fantastic place to be and to grow up, in a sense.
And that interview with Eric Best has brought us to the end of today's program. I'd just like to remind you that our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.